Hello and welcome to Star Wars Spelled Out. I'm your host, Josh Chapman, and today...
I'm just going to run with that. It's episode...
Oh, shit, did I record?
No,
that would
be hilarious.
Episode 7 of Ahsoka. And, yeah, we've got a full deck here. And for once, we're going to keep that in because Matt mocks me every time I do the intro. And this time he's actually opened his mouth and we were recording. So there you go. That's where we have everything on wax around here, just in case.
What was a fright? What started off as a dream has now become a frightening reality.
Yeah, pretty soon I'll become a backseat person on my own podcast here, but that's okay. Not a bad start there, but let's go around the room. We've got the full deck again. We've got Catherine. Hello, Catherine.
Hello.
How you doing?
Yeah, all right, all right. Happy to talk about it.
Nice. And joining us again with his new audio setup, Andy Bell. How you going, buddy?
1-1-2-2, 1-1-1-2-2-2, testing. Hello.
It's that crisp, sound. I love it. I love a crisp sound. And you've already heard him once before, the host of the show, Matt Mole. How's it going, Matt?
Good, thanks, Josh. Thanks for coming on tonight. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries.
Right, he can just anticipate every move like his idol.
Well, I just did.
Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Oh, right. I was going to say me. I'm pretty sure I'm not his. I'm sure he's not talking about me, who his idol is. I'm just here for mockery. That's the thing. I do the same. But Araj does the same thing every time whenever he goes in. I'm pretty sure Struthers did. I think a lot of the podcasts do the same intro most times.
Yeah, Struthers does the same.
Yeah. So I've learned from the best. So I'm too old to change. I'd be interested to go back and actually I can't be bothered doing that. Listen when I actually started doing that, but who's got time? One for the train spotters. We'll talk about that. But we are here. We're talking episode 7 of Ahsoka. Dreams and Madness? Is that what it was called?
Dreams and Madness, yes.
I'm not quite sure how that relates. Maybe we'll get into it a little bit further. What was the running time this week, Matt?
It's 45 minutes, I think, but Dreams and Madness was from last week's episode where Baylan Skoll was talking to Shin going, this is a place of dreams and madness.
Oh, right. Well, you're all over that one. Maybe you should host this podcast. You remembered all that quite well.
Andy, how did you find this week's episode, buddy?
I thought it was good. I thought it was very, very good. I think it's kind of... flatline now in terms of quality, which I think is great because I think it's progressively getting better every single week. But yeah, the writing, and I'm sure we'll talk about this later on, the writing in this particular episode I thought was actually spot on. There's a few things at the very, very beginning of the episode that I thought I would love to talk about because it was a no-brainer, but it was executed really, really well.
Let's just go back to the start. Let's kick off at the start, and they did put Mon Mothma in the thumbnail, so it was a bit of a giveaway that we were going to get some Senate stuff. Shout out to previous guests on the podcast, Matthew Turbo Thurbin, who said that he saw the thumbnail and then was going to wait till he got to his hotel to watch the episodes. I think that tells you everything about what Turbo likes.
But he would have been gutted with the neckline, that's for sure.
Yeah, trying on some assortment of lovely silk scarves, as we've mentioned before. But we kick off basically. It's not the Senate, though, is it? It's just like a hearing room. Like they haven't just. Are they? Do you reckon they went back to the Senate? Did they go back to the Senate after the Empire left? Like the big room with all the pods? They just like steam clean it and wash the Imperial stink off the walls and just take it over.
Well, I'm not sure if I'm pretty sure this is not Coruscant. It's
no, it's Coruscant.
Are you
it's
sure?
Coruscant.
It's not
yeah.
that Hosnian Prime where the new.
I don't Will think it... they've moved capitals yet. That sort of happens bloodline a little bit later.
You may be right.
I'm pretty.
Yeah, we
sure.
get to the we get to the Windig novels, don't we? And they've moved the capital from. Actually, you're right. This doesn't make sense.
So is that when they move
the capital? From to Chandrila, which is
Mon Mothma's
world, and then they have a terrorist attack there.
Did she just not want to have to commute?
And then they move it on. Yeah, but hang on. While they've moved the capital of the New Republic away from, I can't believe we're getting this deep this quickly, but they've moved the capital of the New Republic from Coruscant to Chandrila because Coruscant is still imperial owned, with Massa Mida,
yeah,
as the puppet leader of the empire.
Yeah, and that's before maybe the Battle of Jakku, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Which is only year afterwards, after the Battle of Endor or something.
So I'm
like that.
Guessing.
But this is 9 years after the Battle, or 7 years after the Battle of Endor. So
yeah, something like that. Yeah. So
it's just a meeting room. Yeah. So we've gone a roundabout way of working out that actually no, it's not there.
It's just a committee room. They're in Port Palace House, basically.
It's just a meeting room.
I used to work.
It's a Senate inquiry.
I've got it. Oh, by 28 ABY, Hosnian Prime had been voted the capital of the New Republic. So that's only 2 years before the Force Awakens. Play on.
Okay.
Coruscant.
So they haven't moved out. I was going to say, well, I used to
work. Coruscant confirmed.
I used to work at Westminster when I worked for the Houses of Parliament. And if you've been to Westminster Palace, it's quite a remarkable place, but it's falling apart. And they've been working on it for years. And there was years that they were talking about shutting it all down for years and maybe even moving Parliament to Manchester or something like that. And I can imagine that was probably how it went down, like a lead balloon, when they were just saying, we're going to leave Coruscant and go somewhere else. Where everyone's like, well, I'm not commuting all the way to Hosnian Prime. Yeah, we're going to stay in this crumbling palace because we don't want to move out. Anyway, so basically Hera's being dragged over the coals for going rogue. Mon Mothma's there. Is that Admiral Ackbar sitting there as well? Confirmed?
Got to be right.
No, he had a moustache, didn't he?
There was the nine numb with a moustache, which was, I didn't had no Weird. Idea that they could grow facial hair. That was quite something. Was he a Sullustan? Sullustan?
Sullustan, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So no confirmed Admiral Ackbar.
I'm not sure he had enough army badges or enough strepsils on his thing.
But he's probably just, maybe he just doesn't feel like he needs to wear them all the time.
Yeah, I don't think it was Admiral.
Don't think it was him?
No. Yeah, but was it? Were they all senators? It was more of a hearing towards Hera's potential court-martial, wasn't it? So there's got to be someone from the military there, and makes sense, Ackbar, right? In my headcanon.
I just kind of expected lots of people on Twitter to be like, Admiral Ackbar, take that, Rian Johnson. You can't kill him off forever. What a slap in the face to Rian Johnson for resurrecting Admiral Ackbar. But essentially that jerk senator was trying to... He's
a dickhead.
He's...
yeah. Yeah.
Why is he such a... I've never watched Resistance. Was his son a dickhead?
I reckon he's friends with Perrin. Like, that senator is friends with Perrin.
He's obviously had a bunch of Imperial mates, and they've kind of had... I mean, they've had to bring back everybody. They can't exclude other systems after the Empire. They've had to bring everybody in, and I think he pretty much just liked the way that it was, so he's just being a bit of a jerk. He did show up in Resistance. I don't remember. I mean, I think he was a bit of a jerk dad, not a particularly warm bloke, but he seems very intent on keeping people away from sniffing out any Imperial activity.
Mm. Yeah. Kaz was definitely anti First Order and annoying, but I wouldn't say a dick. But I only watched season one.
No, he definitely had his heart in the right place, Kaz, which is pretty remarkable considering his dad is much of a jerk. You know, you think he might just be like Draco Malfoy or something, because his dad's a jerk, he's a jerk. But I got Malfoy on the brain. He's turning up in his Uber Eats ads all the time.
Watching so bad.
AFL 360, I got to see him watched in that about five times. So essentially...
Are they Australia only, those ones?
No, they're worldwide, and there's some, they're really bad, some of the international ones. They came up on my Twitter feed the other day.
Okay. So essentially Hera's getting dragged over the coals here. There's no sign of Thrawn. Seems like she's just out there stirring up trouble. They're going to chuck the book at her, and then there's a little, not a knock on the door. The door opens, and then Andy, who's standing in the doorway?
The Gold Rod himself.
Chris Hall's favourite character.
Chris Hall's absolute messiah. Yeah.
The fart sniffer arrives.
That's what he calls Anthony Daniels,
the fart sniffer.
So C-3PO is there in all his glory, basically on a representative trick for Senator Leia Organa. I mean, why spend the money and go through all the moral, you know, implications and questions about resurrecting Carrie Fisher with AI or face swap when you can give Anthony Daniels $100 in a basement and he'll he'll turn up and he'll do the job for you. I don't know whether he was in the suit or not, but he was. You know, it was definitely.
I think he was.
You think he was?
I think he was, because if you notice the way he was standing, there was definite tum tum. Like, we were talking about Thrawn paunch last week. There was Daniel's definitely paunch. Like 3PO paunch.
I mean, we've got to stop with the body shaming. It's
got to be. I know. He's got to be 70 like, years old now. I mean, I'll be lucky if I'm that trim when I'm 70. You know, I'll be pretty happy.
I'm desperately trying to stop myself from just standing in the kitchen eating chocolate. so yeah, I'm not really one to body shame, but yeah.
Was he in the costume for Rogue One? Do we know?
Well, that was like very quick. So
I know, but that's why I'm wondering whether
they're coming to Scarif.
He hangs on to 3PO. Like,
oh, I know, but I just wouldn't be surprised if he said, oh, look, I'll just do it and I'll, you know, because he's already said a million times he's been done. Yeah. I suppose he never said, did he ever say at Rise of Skywalker that he was done? I guess it was probably just implied that he was done. Just because it was the last film, but yeah. Ah, look, it was nice to see him. He was 3PO-ing it up. He dropped some truth bombs or dropped some hot fire.
Get out of jail cards.
Yeah, put them all back in his place. Basically said that Leia had authorized the whole thing.
And then said it a dickhead. Went, oh, we're going to take this from a droid? And Carson had to hold Chopper back.
That was Chopper quite a nice moment.
Was going to go Uncle Chop Chop on him.
He was like, about to leap over the barrier and. Well, what was the thing about, you know, he doesn't respect droids? That little jerk kid from the, you know, Obi-Wan show,
Kenobi.
Yeah, didn't respect droids. So I think it's going to be a pretty clear way you can see the, you know, people say it's how you can tell if people are, you know, rude to wait staff and stuff. You can tell what a person's like, how they treat service staff and things. I think it's probably the same for how you treat droids in this, but. I don't know. What do you reckon, Andy? You happy to see 3PO back? Did you kind of go, oh.
I was more, no. I was happy to see him. I mean, I don't get as, I don't have an allergic reaction when I see the character. But I thought that the way it was written was really, really good. I mean, yeah, it's really simple writing, but it's really, really effective. And the way that it came over, the way that he delivered that kind of backslap to the senator around the fact that she wasn't consulted in the first place was a perfect layer, absolutely perfect. And I just thought it was great. It was great. For me, it was a great tip of the hat to Carrie, because that's exactly the character she played. The fact that she's going to reverse a situation like that back on the person that's creating the problem in the first place, for me, was absolutely world class. And probably very simple writing. I'm not a writer, but I thought it was really, really cool.
But also, it sort of strongly shows that she's never really, her head's nearly never really out of the war. She doesn't really feel like they've won. You know what I mean? Like, she's still on her guard. Like, she's still very much just like, I don't trust these fools as far as I can throw them. I'm never really switching off from this thing, which, you know, obviously leads into The Force Awakens and everything else that happens later on, that she's still on
but
her
she's
game.
Also got their back. She's also got, you know, friendships to her and people, and her trust is kind of, is really, really important. Her trust in people is really important to Leia. And that came over in that, you know, in a few lines delivered by a golden droid.
Mm. Well, yeah, we sort of speculated who we would see when we sort of did the lead up to this, and I think if they were going to play their Leia card, they would have played it this week. So, you know, we got to see another classic character return, and then Mon Mothma sort of says, "All right, well, we got out of that one. That jam. Is this Thrawn thing really happening? Is this Thrawn thing really happening, Matt?
Is it happening?
Is it really happening? Are we living it? It felt like this episode was sort of, you know, everything last week was about the anticipation of seeing Thrawn and what it would be like, and this week it was sort of him hitting his strides.
I think it was great in that you sort of, you get to see Thrawn's tactics in action this episode, really. Like, they got a little bit of cat and mouse going with Ahsoka, and we'll get into that.
He's a bigger picture guy, isn't he, really? He's all about he's all about the bigger picture.
He's playing 4D chess all the time, and I think it was a bit of a nod to that. They wanted to you want to see why Thrawn is so beloved by me and Jimmy, and
I did exchange a couple of nice messages with Jimmy Dice this week too, just sort of about the episode and about the Scruffy's covering and everything like that. So listen to the Scruffy podcasters if you're not already. They're doing some good work over there, and he was very happy as well. So shout out Jimmy if you're listening. So yeah, we get back down to the planet and it's all kicking off. Ahsoka turns up. She's in the belly of the whale, in the mouth of the whale. They get to the planet. There's a nice little 10 at 1000 moment where he's still not convinced they're actually going to turn up at the right place. Whoa. But they do. Oh, before we get there, sorry.
Wait, Ahsoka
training. Yeah, sorry.
Can we just dial it back 40 seconds?
Sorry.
The Jane Fonda workout videos.
Yeah.
Got to talk about them.
So Ahsoka, she's doing it. She's doing some practicing and... She flicks. I guess she's comfortable enough to put on the old home movies again after she's gotten over her sort of problems with Anakin Skywalker. So she flicks on a recording, and there he is again. Hayden, I thought the outfit looked a little bit better this time too. The Clone Wars.
It didn't feel as bulky, and like the chest plate 5000 wasn't on. It was just a regular sized torso metal. I don't know. It looked good.
Which was very, weird, very considering good. You thought they would have probably shot it all pretty much at the same time, but who knows, maybe some trickery in there. But
he looked good. Like, that's the thing with a hologram, is that you can forgive a lot of any, you know, face CGI shenanigans. It's a far more forgiving sort of medium, as it were. So I thought he looked great.
He did.
You gave a nice little pep talk. He was just sort of doing some trainee stuff and got some name drops in there as well.
Oh, yes, yes. Ventress, Dooku, Grievous.
Yeah.
But I think it was really awesome because we all probably thought, okay, we got our Anakin moment, you know, like it's over, it's done with, the budget's been burnt, and then, oof, again.
And at least it was sort of...
It was subtle.
In context to what she was doing. And I mean, it's not like she moved.
You're still hating on that episode, aren't you?
I'm not hating at all. I'm just, this just seemed like it was like more of appropriate use of it. But anyway, that's just what
Why are you always throwing the Skywalkers in the bin?
I'm not throwing them in the bin. I'm just, they were important. They should come in at the right times for the right reasons. That's all. That's just me.
And but, this was the missing dialogue that we were waiting for as well from the trailer.
Yes.
About, you know, that's kind of, in my mind, that's kind of it now with Anakin, because that was the bit that we hadn't seen so far.
Well, the only thing that's left now is Thrawn at the top of the Eye of Sion. That's it. Coming down the hallway.
Yep.
That's it.
Right.
Mm. Because I think the other bit that they got rid of was the Thrawn comment with Hera and Mon Mothma that hope for the best, but hope for the worst. No, pray for the best and
prepare for the worst.
Prepare for the worst, but hope for the best. That's it.
Yeah. So they do. They realize that the space whales are slowing down, so they must be getting close. And then they pull up at the planet, and Thrawn's left a little nasty surprise for them all in there, which were all a bunch of sort of space mines, which I thought was quite cool. I kind of just assumed that they were going to just open fire at them and shoot at them. So the mines was actually sort of visually interesting. Hadn't really seen anything like that. And I did like that they kind of zhunked together. They sort of...
Once they sense movement, they sort of move towards it.
Mm.
So it meant that bigger explosions, and if one went off, you know, it would, then send others towards it. So, yeah, it looked really good. And I was watching very carefully. No whales were harmed.
I knew you were going to say that. And I was watching this, and I was actually thinking at the start of this episode, I mean, we can spoil it anyway, but there were a lot of animals in action, and they all seemed to make it through without any troubles in this one. And I was like, well, Catherine will be happy with that. There was no sort of
Space Greenpeace coming to stop the space whales from being killed.
So the whales basically sort of got through and went, oh, well, F this, we're out of here, which was a convenient way to actually get them off the table as well, of going, well, we can't use them to get back as well. They've kind of just done the drop and run, as we sort of talked about last week that they might do.
Screw you guys, I'm getting hit.
Yeah, there was a bit of that.
I don't feel like dying, I'm out of here, bye.
Yeah. So they there were some very nice visuals there. They were sort of maneuvering through the field and then going in through the asteroid, the belt, or the belt of all the bones and things, which was very cool. A little bit of Empire Strikes Backy kind of stuff. Pretty good maneuvers, I thought. I enjoyed that quite a lot. You always kind of go, oh, we've done that a few times, but they kind of found a way to make it fresh.
It's visually very, very good. And I have watched it again tonight, and I really did pick up that, oh, yeah, the visual effects are really quite good. You know, it's easy to become quite complacent with Star Wars, and we're used to all of these things. But it's like, oh no, that's very good and quite hard to do. So, yeah, well done.
There were two shonky special effects moments that I really noticed in this, and one of them actually leads directly onto the next scene, which was when we catch up with Sabine and Ezra, and they're in, sort of in the convoy. Just the wide shot, it just looked like they were really green screened into that little pod thing. Or maybe it was just when they were further out. I don't know. It just looked like they were sort of just sort of sitting there on the thing. And then later on, the thing where Ahsoka jumps out of the plane looked a little bit funny. I probably would have just cut and had her do a roll. Yeah, I know, it's tricky, but I probably would have been like, you know what, we don't need to see her. Yeah. She can just jump off the thing and see her rolling. You know, you don't need to have her hit the ground, but...
Nitpickers.
Yeah, maybe we are being a little bit
I did like the wagon train, though. That was that whole little idea convoy. Of these guys. Yeah, the little convoy, and then the you know, it's almost a trope, isn't it, in that the convoy gets raided by bandits. It was... That was kind of... There was something quite comforting about that. I thought that was pretty cool.
I did
like that they sort of subverted expectations in that they were mechanical pods, like were they hovering? They're like hovering around in their movement. So there was like subverting their expectations of, oh, these people won't have any technology, blah, blah, blah. No, they did have the technology to build the pods and have them hovering, so yeah.
But it was cool. It was just to get around, that wasn't like weapons or anything.
No.
But when they were getting attacked, they picked up some speed as well. So I mean, it's not, it wasn't the fastest thing in the world, but they had a decent chase. It was cool. Very cool.
The obvious thing here, I mean, I'm sure everybody was thinking the same thing, was the very two towers send out the warg riders vibes. Very similar to that, Matt. You got a confused look on your face. I don't know what I'm talking about, Matt. You didn't get that at all.
The Two Towers Warg Riders. Yes.
When they're leaving
Rohan,
they're walking to Rohan, and all the wolves.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay.
Really, I thought you'd be all over that, Mr. Salted Pork podcast. But I was waiting for you. I was actually like, very strangely, as a backstory, just normally Matt messages me all day about the Ahsoka episode, and I got nothing today. You must have been busy. And I was waiting for you to drop the Lord of the Rings reference stuff, and it never came. I was like,
I didn't watch till 3, and then I only just squeezed in another episode just between 7:55 and 8:30.
There you go. So Thrawn is basically sort of watching all the pieces here. He's convinced that Ahsoka's turned up, and he's proved right that Ahsoka turns up. And then he's sent Baylan and the apprentice, Sheem, to chase down Ezra and Sabine. But it basically, he reveals he's really just stalling for time. He's just trying to keep them occupied so they can make a getaway. But
So that was really good that, I mean, it's sort of at the end, but that it was, for time, all just buying them that time without interference to be able to load things on and then get away. So I'd have to go back to last week's episode to go, okay, did he send Sabine first and then find out it was 3 rotations to load the cargo, or find out it was 3 rotations for the cargo and then send Sabine out? Because that's the type of thing of, okay, if he knows it's going to take 3 rotations, then, okay, I need time. I'll send Sabine out and send mercenaries out. And if, you know, what's her face? If Ahsoka comes,
she'll go over there rather than come to me.
She'll go over there. Yeah.
Well, he knew the three rotations first. It was the first dialogue when he met with Elsbeth.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that confirms he knew he needed time. And so the whole, why is he, you know, just sending her out to go find Ezra? Why is he sending the mercenaries out? It's to buy time.
Yeah, and so, he probably even sent
her. He has a plan within a plan.
Even sent her generally in that direction because, you know, she could have sent her in the other direction where he didn't think Ezra was, but she's like, well, if she actually finds him, she'll probably dick around there for a while, wasting each other's time as well while they catch up and do whatever as well. They won't be, their primary thing won't be focusing on me. So he essentially does send the raiders out. And but the interesting part about all this is that Baylan's just kind of like, you know what? I'm sitting this out. I'm taking myself off the board, Andy. What's going on, mate? He's what's your doppelganger Baylan doing? What's he up to?
What happened here?
I purposely haven't trimmed the beard either because of this.
You better get close to that mic, mate, so we can hear you.
You're doing a Matt Mole.
You're doing a Matt Mole.
Sorry.
You got too comfortable. He's one of your podcasts that got comfortable.
I think he's going to walk the earth. I think he's going to walk the earth.
Like Kato and Kung Fu.
He's got something else that he needs to think about. I mean, we talked about it last week, where there is something bigger than, I believe there's something bigger than Thrawn here. Whether we see it by the end of the season, because quite frankly, there's not a lot of time left. Who knows? Absolutely knows? But there is something bigger, badder, more dangerous, and he's out there looking for it. What his motives are for when he finds it, I've got no idea. Whether he wants to destroy everything and rebuild from the scratch, whether he wants to, I mean, I've seen a lot of different theories online at the moment, which all sound very credible, but I genuinely don't know. But I think that in the same way that Thrawn uses people to his advantage to be a component of his strategy, I think that the guy is actually played, I wouldn't say played Thrawn at his own game, but he's also leveraged this arrangement that he's got with Morgan to for his own benefit, for his own mission, or for his own objective that we currently don't know about.
Yeah, he seems very reluctant to, one, engage, and definitely doesn't want to kill Jedi. He's basically just like, well, there's not many of us. I don't actually want to get rid of them at all. I'm not a hunter. I'm not a inquisitor. It's not my job to rub out Jedi. You know, my mercenary, I'll do the job that needs to be done. But he sort of faces down Ahsoka and is just sort of like, well, I guess if I'm going to have to do this, I'll face you. But
this
really,
is it. I mean, unlike his apprentice, he's actually very melancholic when he has to engage with folk. He is... he's a thinker. He's a deep, deep thinker. And like I said, unfortunately, he's got to go. He's almost retires himself to the fact that he's going to have to fight these folk in order to get this hassle of returning Thrawn to the known galaxy as a stepping stone to his higher objective, which we still don't know. And I'm very excited about.
And Catherine, he seems to be saying to Shin, just like, well, you're a bit more, your ambition's a bit different to where I want to go. You want to get out there and you want to get there fast, and I'm not doing that.
Yeah, that he thinks her ambitions lie with the Imperials to be.
She just wants to break some windows and, you know, kick some heads and stuff, really.
Yeah, and he definitely wants something else, whether that's rebuilding the Jedi Order in his own image. Why he wants to be in the other galaxy, though, whether he wants to take advantage of the witch's magic, who knows? Who knows? It's really interesting, and I hope we get some kind of answer or resolution. And unfortunately, you know, the real life events with his death.
I mean, yes, I sort of said earlier, I just was assumed that he was the foil and he would be the bad guy who gets defeated at the end and that would be it, you know, but like you said, Andy, they seem to have bigger plans, or he's got a bigger thing. And does the real world thing come like, oh, well, they probably might have to recast or find a way around a character that was probably playing the long game, potentially, maybe the long game in stories as well. But I'll guess we'll see. But there was, there was some good lightsaber action. Matt, what do you reckon? It was good to see them throw down again. You think that's the last time they'll throw down this season, Ahsoka and Baylan?
Maybe. It's I don't twice know. Now. What's with the whole you can't def- why can't why does he think she can't defeat him? I'm keen for someone for thoughts like is he better than her, or
is that just if you strike me down I'll become more powerful?
No, he made a comment like you can't defeat me. She's like, I don't have to. So and then, you know, the ship shot at him, but the lightsaber fighting was great. Like, you can see his just absolute aggression and very dominant fighting style, but you can see she's got her inner peace and her Ahsoka the white
she's having
going.
A good time this episode.
She's got a groove. Ahsoka's got a stellar groove back this episode.
she's been on a trip to the Caribbean and had a good time.
Definitely got Mamma Mia vibes.
So while this is all going on, obviously the Raiders have turned up and they're, you know, trying to get Ezra and Sabine and Shin turns up and Ezra really, really very Ezra, isn't he? He's really nailing Ezra. Oh,
this guy's killing it as Ezra.
Embodied it really, really well. And basically he decides he doesn't want to fight with a lightsaber. He's just gonna force it up, really. Which is probably just how he's been doing it all this time anyway.
MVP this week, without a doubt, in my mind. Like others, maybe not everyone, but I found his character in Rebels a little bit grating sometimes. I think the guy brings with him in his acting style the essence of Ezra without it being annoying. without it being annoying at all. And I really loving his take. Yeah, no, I'm just loving it. I'm just loving it. But he's having fun. He's having an awful lot of fun in this role. And he for me was the biggest part of this week's ep, was him just being cool with who he is. Didn't need the lightsaber. No, I gave it to you. You keep it. I can use the Force. Throws down with a few guys with a few Force pushes. Picks up a blaster. Blows their heads off. Brilliant.
He's still not afraid to use a blaster at the end. He does do the trick that was in Rise of Skywalker. The sort of the Force block on the lightsaber, which was quite cool to see as well.
I felt like Shin Hati was like way down on her normal proficiency. She was so wild and she didn't seem as anywhere near as controlled. And
well, the master wasn't there to keep her in line. I think
I think she was definitely rattled by being. Did he release her from her? Like, is that it?
We're done. He's like, yeah, we're done. Like, you are no longer. We're on different paths. You're whatever you are. I don't know. Whatever you are, you're it. So, I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but, you know, Ahsoka does sort of turn up. Well, before that, the stormtroopers show up. They send a couple of squads. So,
okay. So, you know, they cut back to Ezra and Sabine. You know, they're trundling along in the little pod, having.
Oh, did you hear the Palpatine line as well? Some people think he's gone. I'm like, you had to do it.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Anyway, so they're catching up on, you know, what's happening in the war and that they're friends. Okay, fair enough. But Sabine has still not told Ezra that about Thrawn knows that she's here, you know, that involvement. And that, yeah, he allowed her to come out. So it'd be like, if you'd known that, maybe they would have prepared better, or they would have gone separately to the rest of the people or something. He would have been prepared also for maybe stormtroopers coming up. Like, be more on his guard. Like, oh, my God, Sabine.
Oh, I think they were assuming I think they assumed that Thrawn knows what's going on, though. Like, she would have said that she came over with Thrawn.
She hasn't said.
But she's left the biggest thing out.
I thought it was more that the fact that she could have kept him from leaving was what she was avoiding. Like, she basically, sacrificed the safety of the galaxy in order to go get him. I thought that was the thing that she was skirting around, not the fact that she is involved with Thrawn.
Also, she's also skirting around all of that. But, the most pressing matter is, yes, Thrawn's there and Thrawn's allowed her to go. Thrawn's probably tailing her. Like, that's the most likely assumption. Oh, my God, Sabine.
I would have thought that Ezra would already just assume that Thrawn knows everything that's going on that planet to a degree, and that's why they move as soon as she gets there. So, I don't know. She's definitely hiding stuff, but I didn't think that was...
They are avoiding a discussion of some sort, whether we agree or not as to what that should be. They're still avoiding, an episode on. They have still avoided the discussion. Now that Ahsoka's turned up, does it really matter anymore? I don't know.
Well, I thought it was also the fact that she didn't have a way to get back. I thought that was more what it was, because he keeps saying about how he can't wait to get home, assuming that she's got a ship that can just take him home, and she's just like, well, actually, I got nothing, so I'm not going to tell you that maybe you're still going to be stuck here yet.
And we don't even have any whales anymore, right? Because they've
no, exactly. So the only way back is off on that ship. So they've
but
got a.
Unless they recorded some sort of live tracking of the whale route they've taken.
Yeah, but I don't think the Ahsoka's ship has the hyperdrive to go that distance, though. I think that's why you need the big F off ship to do it, or you need a whale to get to another galaxy. But So the stormtroopers turn up. They start rumbling. So they don't know. They seemed pretty human, normal stormtroopers to me. It didn't seem like any kind of zombie stormtroopers going into puffs of dust or anything like that. Sorry, Alex Damon, who was telling me not to criticize zombie stormtroopers and let him have it. Shout out, Alex Molly at Star Wars Explain. But I think that obviously what's in those catacombs is something shady. But I think those were just normal. Class TKs.
Well, I actually thought we might get like a Horn Hill moment, they fight all those stormtroopers and then all of a sudden they just rise again and keep fighting. No, we didn't get any of that.
Easily as any other stormtrooper.
Oh, yeah, they were just.
Which was why he didn't want to give all. Why he was reluctant to give them up in the last series. He's like, well, if they were zombies, we would have sent 10 battalions.
Send them all.
Yeah.
But why do they keep shooting Sabine at her armor, not her face or any of the areas that don't have armor on?
Mate,
I don't want her to be shot.
Stormtroopers through and through.
I know. It's just,
you can take the stormtroopers out of the Empire. We can't take the Empire of the stormtroopers or whatever it was. Same old. No matter what galaxy.
I'm still not sure about the captain whose name I can't remember at this moment in time.
Enoch.
Last week I very much was convinced that we were talking about death troopers, as in the zombie troopers. But listening to them today and the way that their physicality today, I think you're right. I think they're normal troopers. They've just decided to decorate their kit.
But I think whatever they're loading into straps. Into the Star Destroyer, I think that is night troopers. And I think Enoch probably could be the one that is one of them. I don't think they're all the same, but I think the troopers that specifically went out to fight were just regular Ahsoka troopers, but he's obviously cooking something up with all those, something that they're loading onto that Star Destroyer.
In the catacombs, they're saying they're dead Night Sisters. They're the old witches of the past, which they've done that in the past with raised that army of the dead in Clone Wars. So they could be old witches or fallen witches.
Yeah, because it was definitely the witches who wanted that cargo shifted. So
is that basically part of the deal to let Thrawn, to leave him alone? I don't know. Do you feel like they're sort of playing the long game with Thrawn? I mean, Thrawn's probably too dumb. I mean, they probably really don't really trust each other. It's a marriage of convenience here. They probably don't really trust each other that much. But at the moment, they both want to get out of this galaxy and get back to the other one.
They're definitely differential. But that's their home planet.
Yeah, but they don't want to be there.
No.
But also the way that they've firsthand seen Thrawn send out Sabine and then tell the mercenaries to go out and kill her, and then within minutes send out two battalions or two squads of troopers to go out and kill them. So they'd be pretty stupid to think that he's not at some point going to double cross them as well.
Yeah.
In my mind.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too. So they do. So they kind of, the troopers turn up and it looks like they're all being surrounded. It's all over. And then Ahsoka runs in and jumps in, helps out, takes down all the troopers. There's a bit of a skirmish. Shin sort of jumps in and Ahsoka makes short work of her, which was quite satisfying.
Why did she let her go? That's weird to me.
That was quite funny. There was a moment where, you know, they sort of stop. She realizes that she's done. They're sort of all standing there. And she's like, well, you know, you're beaten. And Ahsoka says, oh, you know, I can help you. And then she just does this kind of like, gotta go. And she just turns around and like runs off.
Jumps on a space donkey and leaves. That was odd. I thought that was very odd.
Yeah, it was a bit like a, you know, like a Simpsons kind of sort of exit stage left sort of thing. I mean, that was the same as Ahsoka when she leaves Baylan as well. She turns around. There's two different things of running off on wolves in the distance while the other people look on. It was just sort of
bizarre.
I did like that the doggy was in the pod with one of the turtle people.
Yeah,
that was quite nice. Like the nice one. They had sort of the mean ones and the other ones. Yeah, I was sort of...
Oh, they could be nice if they're treated nicely.
That's true. They should have just sort of, you know, while she was running off in that direction, you know, Ahsoka should have just picked up a rock and sort of thrown it at a distance so you just sort of see off at the distance she gets hit with hit in the head with a rock and falls off the wolf. that would have been amazing. They should have done that. But, she's obviously got a part to play in this last episode, and we'll see what happens there. But it was kind of satisfying to see her put in her place a little bit. And it was just kind of weird going, oh, there's sort of two, you know, three people who are kind of Jedi, but none of them really 100% Jedi, but they sort of, you know, she's probably never had to face three different Force wielders at once.
Is it too early to say that I found that Ahsoka laughing when she reunited with Ezra. With Ezra was fantastic. It's like
that was her best. I think that was her best moment as Ahsoka.
Thank you.
She's done. Yeah. I think that was perfect and just like, oh, that was really lovely.
Sweet.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Cool. Yeah, light and personable, which is what I would have described Ahsoka as, not sourpuss. Sorry.
She's been through a lot, Catherine, okay?
Yeah, well, she got out of the ocean and she's a changed person now that she's come out the other side.
She's let go after that very important episode 5. She's learnt to let go of her the blame for Anakin Skywalker. It's not on her conscience anymore.
Okay.
I'm just going to let you hang there.
So Dr. Mole from Austria and his team of scientists have uncovered that.
Yeah. I'll get Dr. Mole to talk in his microphone a little bit better too. Because
Yes.
Rather than say the first word and then just turn away after you said the first word every time. But that's okay. We're all learning here. So, and then it kind of just sort of ends. You get it's almost like a Star Wars movie ending, isn't it? Where you kind of get the wide shot where all the heroes are sort of standing around and the music sort of rises and...
Why does he think he's going home?
There's just one. Sorry to interrupt, but there's just one thing that just before it ends that I thought that made me laugh, proper belly laugh, but actually I kind of like it. And that was when Thrawn assesses where he's at the moment and he thinks that it's been a success. It felt so Rebels. Do you know what I mean? Where he's kind of been, he hasn't been able to kill the crew. He hasn't been successful. The mission hasn't worked. He's had to put his troops into repeat. But at the end of the day, there's this sage-like look on his face, like, no, that was a success. Mm-hmm. And everyone, even Morgan's looking at him as if to say, really?
Is it cognitive reframing, so whatever they call it?
it was like failure of the week in Rebels. Oh, it was all part of the plan. And I love that. I
totally meant
love
to do that.
Well, yeah, exactly.
It's part of the Thrawn thing, though, of having within his plans, layers. So many, many success criteria. He may not have been able to tick off the criteria of killing Ezra or killing the mercenaries, but he's been able to tick off, right, I've bought us the right amount of time to load the cargo. Through all of this, yes, we didn't succeed with those other things. However, we've still got that one success criteria. Yes, we achieved that. We achieved the time to do what we needed to, and they do not have time to come and interfere with our plans.
I'll take the W. Yeah, no, no, I get it. I totally get it. I just found it endearing. I thought it was brilliant.
They talk about give me the confidence of a straight white guy. You know, give me the confidence of a straight blue guy. You know, that's like the next level up. You're like, you think white guys have unearned confidence? talk to a blue guy. It's just like, no matter what happens, he's like, no, I plan to do that all along. This is playing out exactly as I saw it. So don't worry about that. So, yeah, the pieces are sort of in place. So this kind of just is, we've only got one episode left. So I think it's pretty clear there's going to be a lot of hanging threads at the end of this series. This thing is not going to wrap in a bow. I think it's going to basically just leave us going. I think it's going to basically just leave us saying the galaxy, the normal Star Wars galaxy is going to have Thrawn in it, and we're going to see what happens from there. It'll just be about them getting on that ship and getting away home. As you said before, Andy, Ezra keeps talking about, like, how am I, you know, can't wait.
Maybe
to get
I
home.
Am going home now.
Which doesn't bode well. I mean, could they kill Ezra off? Could Ezra sacrifice himself?
Again?
Could he get killed in the thing for this? And does he have a place in this? I mean, I know the character's gotten a lot better than he had before, but is there a place for him in this new? Is there a place for him in this?
He can
story?
Be back in the canon, because Return of the Jedi's done. Luke was the last of the Jedi. Will you be and sort of come back to the galaxy now? And yeah, no, he'll be fine.
How does he fit? I don't know. Does he fit in this?
Maybe he's not. He doesn't want to be a Jedi anymore. He's just happy being a Force pusher.
It's that push and force.
Yeah, well, he's like, oh no, I'm good. I'm good. I've found my inner peace. I'm one with the turtle ways now. Like, you know, I don't want to be like, I don't want the lightsaber. I'm just gonna, you know,
walk the earth as well. Everybody wants to walk the earth. I mean, potentially, they could be the turn.
Maybe Kylo Ren kills him. Unless. He's the first one that Kylo Ren kills.
Unless the story is they don't come back until after Rise of Skywalker.
What is if they don't come back?
I don't think Filoni would take all them off the board if he's going to do a movie, though. I feel like he wants everybody back.
Because, you know, we did get the Carson bit of dialogue about the incident on Mandalore, you know, with Gideon and all of that. So we now know exactly where in timeline context we are.
Monday, baby.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I like the idea of the galaxy going forward, living in a world where it's like, oh, there's a potential that the Empire could come back, and what does that mean, and how do people, you know, the people realize or find out that Thrawn's around, even if it turns out that it's just a rumor for a while, and, you know, like we're talking about, like Voldemort kind of thing going, people are trying to deny that it's happened, and other people are saying that it's happened, and you can feed that into Mando season 3 and the skeleton crew and whatever else is going to be leading up to this thing. But I think as far as this series goes, I think this episode, they're still on the planet. I think it's just going to be, can they get onto that ship somehow to get home before it leaves? The clock is ticking kind of thing. I think we've got this time has become an essential factor here. So, yeah, what happens? We'll probably find out what's in those cases. I'm not sure what else we find out.
Are we absolutely 100%, going back to Matt's point earlier on, are we absolutely 100% positive that the map, that you need the hyperspace ring to get to this galaxy? Because I always interpreted that the map, the reason why Ahsoka traveled with the Purgles was because it was obviously part of their migration plan.
they know where
The hyperspace ring was built to bring the Chimera back. It's the size of the Chimera, which is what dictates the hyperspace ring. So in theory, because they've already got the coordinates, they could make their, because they're already there, they can make their own way back now. They don't need the Purgles anymore. I don't know.
That's exactly, yeah. I think basically she's breadcrumbed inside the Purgle. And like, you know, remember in Solo where like, you know, they went down through the maelstrom and everything, and they sort of loaded into the Navi computer. That's now, they've traveled that way. It's in the Navi computer. They can go in and out. Right. Heard it here first. Potentially.
You know, the ring.
Wouldn't Thor just have left, though?
They mentioned, though, with the ring, that those engines, when they stole that one engine, they mentioned how big that one was, and it has like several of them.
Because of the size of the ISB ISD, the size of the ISD, you need a lot of push there. If you remember, if you look at the back of the Chimera, all three of their main engines are gone. They're wiped out, which is the reason why Thrawn himself can't. He's on sublight.
Star Destroyer must have had other ships that could travel in hyperspace on it, though. Surely.
No, just TIE fighters. They don't have any nav computers. They're only short range.
Yeah, that's
fighters.
Stando TIEs, but they've always got like shuttles and all sorts of other shit on there usually.
Don't know.
I thought it was implied. I have to go back and watch the second or first. Those big hyperspace things were built because it was just like, well, these things could go further than any other hyperspace thing could go.
Those were taken from Star Destroyers. They were pulled apart, those hyperdrives, and that's why like Hera was like, well, the Republic doesn't have any need for anything this big. What's going on here? And then Morgan's ordered them.
I just think it would be a bit like a cop out of Ahsoka's. Just like, all right, everybody hop in, we're out of here. We could just go back.
Because Morgan ordered those built, and it was just said they were for the Republic, but they weren't.
They've got to try and stop them from leaving. So whether they can leave themselves, you know, ideally, perhaps they can just get back in the ship and turn around and go back the way they came, but. They've got to stop that ring from getting there. But ultimately, if they do that, there's no movie and there's no Thrawn. So I feel like it's going to be a little bit Empire Strikes Backy, where it'll kind of be a bit of a, not necessarily a downer, but it's...
We're getting Harry Potter. It's he's back.
It's Goblet of Firing, it, are we? So who's the Cedric Diggory? Is Ahsoka Cedric? Oh, no. Is Ezra Cedric Diggory? Is he Rob Pattinson?
My boy!
We've been watching a lot of Harry Potter at our house at the moment. We've got an 8-year-old.
That beat's genuinely quite hard to watch.
Yeah, we haven't got to 4 yet because it's a little bit too hardcore for an 8 and a 4-year-old. So,
well, that's when it turns.
Yeah, We're aware. We've read the book, but we haven't gotten to the movie yet. Anyway, we digress. So, yeah, basically, yes, they're going to have to stop. They still have to stop Thrawn from leaving. Maybe they manage to, you know, wreck the cargo but don't stop him from leaving. Maybe that's the partial win. I feel like there's no way they're going to end this series with Thrawn still in this galaxy. I think it's... But I mean, if they do, like, if they leave him, is there anything that's stopping them coming back and picking them up later on now that the coordinates are out in the open? Who knows? Like, I think the... Is the galaxy, you know, there's that talk of like, oh, this galaxy, you could just run your own story off in the other direction and all this other stuff could go on. But now is the cat out of the bag? Is it just another place people can go? Or, we'll just have to wait and see.
I have a feeling there's definitely leaving breadcrumbs for, there's something, you know, Baylan feels there's a greater force on this planet that they're trying to escape from. I feel
he's
like
quite happy to stay. He doesn't seem like he's in any hurry.
If anything, he might stay and seek out the answers to whatever he's trying to... He's got some walkabout mission he's trying to do. Ahsoka and Thrawn will leave, go back to the galaxy, and then, you know, the last scene might be whatever this great of power is on this galaxy, breadcrumb, soft reboot, whatever it is for the future as well. So, hey, we're going back to the Mandoverse, but there's also plenty of storyline open here now as well.
Yeah, well, how that feeds into everything else. How does a galaxy prepare for that kind of thing? And maybe that feeds into Skeleton Crew, where it's like, oh, okay, well, these kids are on an adventure, but the galaxy isn't as safe as it was in the last series because now there's an impending Imperial threat and maybe the war's going to kick off again and all this sort of stuff's going to happen and there's going to be pirates or whatever it is, Matt, that you're saying is going to be in it. And Jude Law's
Vane will be there.
That's
a good point. That's a good point. So it was always intended for Mando, Ahsoka, and what was
Rangers of the New Republic
to be this amazing task convergence force. Or this event. Amazing Avengers moment. Do we know that Skeleton Crew is also part of that as well?
It is.
Yeah. I think it's in the same timeline at least. I don't know. Maybe it's just set in that universe. Because it's an easier sell to do TV in the same universe, but I feel like it'll touch.
Bring back Gina.
start your own damn hashtag on that.
isn't the synopsis for Skeleton Crew that they get lost? That they're lost in space somewhere? It's like a caravan of kids,
Stranger Things in space, apparently.
But aren't they lost? And I'm just wondering, is there any synergy between that and where Sabine, Ahsoka, and the guys are at the moment? Is there anything? Do they pick them up on the way?
Do they get there and they find them there or something? I mean, who knows? Maybe at the end of this episode, next week, the ring shoots off into space. Well, the ring shoots off into space and all just stand there going, all right, we're stuck on this planet now. What do we do? And Baylan is there uncovering dark things and the next series takes place there and they're off the game for a while. They're out of the game, but who knows? I just don't think it's going to be a big win. I think one way or the other, Thrawn is leaving. Thrawn's out of there.
I reckon.
Yeah.
It ends.
Yeah, but to Catherine's point, does Jude Law turn up in a space school bus? You're like, do you want a lift? Do you want to get on? Do you guys want to get on? Do you need a lift home?
Could be.
Or maybe it just ends and says, the Purgles will return in Skeleton Crew.
They're not going back. They're going, we got shot at last time we went there. We're going to give that place a bit of a wide berth, methinks. So, one episode to go, just like that. The finale next week just sort of crept up on us. And before we knew it, we've done nearly 8 weeks of new Star Wars TV shows, just like that. And, now that the writer's strike is officially over, that means that things will probably start ramping up Star Wars-wise again, which is good. People can start writing things and creating again, which is good, and hopefully the actors get their deal as well. But it's good that the writers got everything that they asked for by the sound of things, so that's great.
We are officially one day close to Andor now.
Yes, we are. Tony Gilroy can get back on the keyboard.
Let's be honest, they were definitely writing stuff in the background. Come on. just the sneaky little post-it notes.
We don't know.
You know, but nothing would go down officially. But I'm sure talks occurred, but he couldn't take any phone calls and with even post-production work, they couldn't refer to him in any way, like talk to him in any way about it.
When you hear about
the special effects and visual effects that take place, there's a lot of work done before shooting, during shooting, and after shooting, about with all of that. It's all really quite interesting. So, hopefully the Screen Actors Guild and ACRA? No, that's the Australian thing.
the Actor Awards are back on too.
Brian Brown on strike, we didn't realise it, or something.
So hopefully their deal will be coming very shortly. And, yes, woohoo.
Well done to everybody for hanging in there and getting what they deserve, which is good. So, we're gonna wrap it up this week.
What was that, Matt?
Do we only have one more week of Star Wars left this year now? Are we
over and out, isn't it?
Is it? I'm worried it might be delayed.
I think it was supposed to be, but they'll probably be delayed if they've got nothing in the pouch now that everything's been delayed. I'd say they might actually push it to next year, but I guess we'll find out.
Lucky we've got Andor to rewatch.
Yes.
Yep.
Rewatch.
Do all that. Get the algorithm going. All right, guys. We've got one more to go next week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everyone, for downloading, for doing the review. That's been really good. The numbers have been really good. Everybody's been great. There you go. Matt Moll's got his beanie on, which is very nice. Classic Anaheim blue version. Thank you, Andy. And also thank you for going to the trouble of getting yourself a new microphone as well.
No, you're welcome.
You just need to talk into it now, like I do.
You can talk. Yeah, right. Thank you, Matt, for the hosting duties tonight. You did very well steering the ship, mate.
Six in a row. I only missed week one. This is my best series to date.
I know. We'll see if you can land it in the last week next week. And Catherine, always thank you for fronting up. And I'll see you tomorrow because we're going to go see the creator. So,
Gareth,
get a little crew and go see some new sci-fi from the man from Rogue One. But yep, thanks everybody. We'll see you soon. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.